Okay, welcome back. We are talking about a match made in Eden and God's design for kingdom relationships. And we're going to pick up here talking about God's design being equal and different. And this is kind of a hot topic today as far as men and women being equal. Does that mean that they're the same? And of course, we know that it does not. Right? So one of the things that we look at is when we're looking at the mind of the manufacturer, which we alluded to a little bit earlier, which is, God obviously was the manufacturer of humans. We were his idea. And of course, he was then the designer. Right? And so purpose determines design, and design determines needs. And if you're ever bored and you're sitting around and you're talking to Siri on your iPhone, you can ask Siri, "Siri, what do you need?" And Siri's not going to really have an answer for you. And so one of the things that we like to talk about with design determining needs is that you need to ask the manufacturer what it is that his product needs. Never ask the product what it needs, because they really don't know. So if you ask Siri, "Siri, what do you need?" Siri's response will be, "How can I help you?" Right? But we all know that Siri needs charged, right? She needs a battery so that she can continue to function. It's just not part of her response. So we want to go to God's Word and ask Him about our design and our needs. God created man and placed the man in the male and the female, which we talked about earlier, the spirit man. And the male was created for a specific purpose, and the female was created for a specific purpose. And the purpose of each are related to their overall purpose. And that is to have a relationship of love with God and to have co-dominion over the earth. Now, the manufacturer just determines the design of a product, and the manufacturer establishes the differences in his product. So, for example, your iPhone is going to be a little different than your iPad, is going to be a little different than your Mac laptop, right? There's definitely going to be some differences there, even though the operating system is the same. Right? So God determines the design and the differences, not society, not culture, not religion, not tradition, the environment, your family upbringing, or history. So, interesting quote from Miles Monroe, "What society and culture have done is to take the intrinsic differences between males and females, distort them, and use them to devalue women." I would go further and say they've even used those to devalue relationships, right? But God says, "My purpose will stand." So what we're talking about with God's purpose is timeless biblical wisdom that transcends geography, time, culture, or society that you live in or grow up in, and even transcends religion, because as we know, some religions have really distorted and misinterpreted parts of the Bible, especially the Genesis story, to achieve some type of political or power purpose. Okay, so the dominion of male and female both have dominion. But their assignment is the same, their execution is different, right? There is a different purpose and design, obviously, in their bodies, and their authority, they both have authority, their authority is carried out differently, right? And there's a principle that we can apply here, which is the way you are is because of why you are. So, for example, on that, the way that you are as a woman It is based on why you are a woman. What is the purpose of being a woman, which we know is, we talked earlier about God's purpose for humans, and then we have God's purposes for male and females, which we're going to talk in a little bit more depth. Okay, equal. So let's first talk about equal, and then we'll talk about different. So Adam recognized Eve as equal, and when he looked at her, he said, "This is now bone of my bones, exactly like me in structure." Right? So he recognized the structure was the same. And then he said, "This is now flesh of my flesh." And so she was exactly like him in her physical qualities and her emotional and psychological abilities. Yet Adam did see differences. She has a womb, and as a result of that, her circuits function differently in order to allow the womb to fulfill its purpose. And when we talk about circuits, we alluded to this in the earlier class when we were talking about that the man was formed or molded, but the woman was built. And so there's a little bit more of an intricate design that was built into her, into her circuitry. So another design difference that we have between the male and the female is that the male is the source, and we talked earlier about how God only took one human and formed them from the dust. Everyone else actually came out of that one man. And so Adam, or man, is the source. Women, the source or the giver, and women we have as the receiver. And I want to, I alluded earlier that we were going to talk about this a little bit more in depth, this concept. And this is true, but it is only two-thirds of the truth. And so there's a lot of dating advice out there that talks about men are givers and women are receivers. And even anatomically, when you look at them, you can see that that's the case, right? But that's how it's supposed to be, they say, in relationships. The man gives and the woman receives. But actually what that breaks down to is you've got a giver and a taker. Right? And there's no reciprocity. So that doesn't really work. And this is a phenomenon that I would say is actually very prevalent in Los Angeles, especially in the Beverly Hills area that I was matching in. And it's a really hard challenge to overcome. It's a cultural mindset, I think, in some places. So how does this actually really work? Well, if you want to just take it and break it down to an anatomical level, right, and say that the man is the giver and the woman is the receiver, you can do that. Right? So let's take it on just a physical example that, you know, we can all relate to, which is reproduction. And so when we look at that, the man gives a sperm and the woman receives that. But here's what's interesting. The woman incubates that, she multiplies it, and she gives it back as a baby. Right? So one of the things that's really, if I only had one thing that I could teach you in this whole entire class, it would literally be this concept, which is women are receivers, but then they are also incubators and multipliers. And one of the huge, huge problems that has happened is that that has been reduced to reproduction. However, that it is not just a physical process. This is also a mental process, a spiritual process, and an emotional process, right? So if as a woman and you are counseling women and you are teaching them about their role as an incubator and multiplier, it's not just related to sperm, right? It is related to emotions, to thoughts, to finances, right? Haven't you heard the saying, if you give a woman a house, she'll make a home. If you give a woman some food, she'll make you a meal, right? So women are incubators and multipliers. Now, here's what's interesting about that. It is a neutral function, okay? So have you ever heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out, right? Okay. It is the same concept with this. So women aren't just incubating and multiplying things that are good. Women are incubating and multiplying things in their environment that they're exposed to that are not so good, right? So when you have a man who's really not careful about the way that he talks to a woman or the way that his speech is going to land on her without thinking how she's going to feel about it, that's a problem, because he might walk away from that, we'll say, argument and move on to the next thing, right? But she is incubating and multiplying that for days. One of the biggest causes of disease and in our society is stress. Researchers and medical doctors will confirm that. And one of my concerns for women especially is being in stressful, toxic relationships and home environments where they are multiplying the stress, right? Because then it turns into tumors, it turns into heart problems, it turns into all kinds of disease, because they're in dis-ease in their bodies, right? Because of what's going on in their environment. So I think that this is something really important to think about and to counsel on. Because when you have a woman in front of you who's trying to decide about this guy who has potential but might not be treating her right, or has some behavior, a habit, a temper, whatever it is about him that's holding her back from committing to him or causing her to wait around for that thing to change and waste her time. The question that I ask women is, whatever it is that you're expressing to me about him that you're concerned about, do you want to incubate it and multiply it? And that generally solves the problem right there, right? So, very important concept in dating and in marriage. Okay, and I think we had one or two more points there. Let's see. A woman is designed to receive a man's love, and she has qualities that complement him. Now, what about the differences? It's important that we note that differences doesn't mean inferior or superior. It just means different. And the differences are because of the purposes of the male man and the female man. Another important thing that I want to point out as well is that even though we have unique differences about us between men or males and women and females, we also individually have our own unique differences. God loves uniqueness, and that's why no snowflake is the same. That's why our retinal scans are unique individually to us. That's why we have fingerprints that are individually unique to us. So we all have a uniqueness about us that is important, and we're going to get into that a little bit more later. But God wants us to remain unique, and he wants us to remain unique even in unity with others. So, the unique purpose. God made you for a special purpose, and God made us all different because of our purpose. Now, people spend years trying to change their mates. Anyone who is married in here might have attempted that and given up. So it is important that we learn how to understand men and that we learn how to understand women, because we have a lot of problems. For example, if you're dealing with a female and you don't understand females, or if you're dealing with the opposite, if you're dealing with a male and you don't understand men, all of a sudden you're handling something that you don't understand. And we talked earlier about when you don't understand purpose, abuse or misuse is inevitable, right? So we really want to understand the differences between men and women, and not only that those differences are complementary, that we don't need to try and change each other into ourselves, that we don't need to try to be the same, that men and women need to try. And there's a lot of social pressure right now for men and women to be the same. You know, women should be in the military. You know, for example, whatever it is, there's so much push for that. And instead, I would really like to see us celebrate our uniqueness as women and as females, and our uniqueness as men, as well as individuals. And if we go to God's Word, it backs this up in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's out of order. And then we have here from Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And the reason that this is important, if we look at it in other words, it means when I look like Christ, imitate me, right? But otherwise, we're not trying to imitate others. Okay. So then we come down to the fall of man, and we'll go back to our slide that was out of order here. And of course, Satan said to Eve that she could be like God, knowing good and evil. And of course, one of the important things that we see here is that all throughout Genesis prior to this, God was referred to as the Lord God. And here, Satan refers to God just as God. Right? So this is just an important little tidbit of information that we can note and we can come back to a little bit later. And so what happened at this point during the fall of man? What was the consequences for men and women and relationships? Of course, there was a source of conflict that arose between men and women. And of course, you know, many versions of this story and distortions of this story have been used throughout history to support religious and cultural practices that are abusive to women. And earlier we looked at the slide about the difference between dominion and domination. And so many times the story of the fall has been used for domination, to control women by force or by fear. So when you understand Genesis, you understand so much about the world and about relationships. So this turns men and women away from God's perfect design. And as we discussed before, as a result of that, we have five different types of relationships that the world proposes to us are an alternative, man's idea, as opposed to God's design. And when we go back to that statement about Satan leaving out the word God, but Lord God, in that statement, you're going to hear over and over again different spiritual propositions for relationships. And that is going to be reinforced by the additional statement that there are many paths to God. There are many ways to do relationships, right? So what happens there is we're leaving out the Lord. We're leaving out His authority over our lives and answering to Him. So be careful as different ideas are being proposed to you about relationship styles and interactions between men and women. Be careful to look for that, you know, under whose authority is this a good idea, right? And you're just generally not going to find the Lord God in that equation at all. So let's see. Now, Adam and Eve, of course, wound up in this situation by an act of their own will and wanting to come up with their own rules under their own authority and their own ideas, which is what we're struggling with still today and was the whole first part of our class. Okay? Adam and Eve rejected God's plan and they pursued their own desires. Here's the problem. We were designed to live in God's purpose and under His loving rule. And this design has a major interaction with biology. And there's a deeper discussion that we're going to get into later on about hormones and neurochemistry and as that relates to relationships. But this is also relevant to the stress that we just talked about a minute ago. We're designed to live in God's purpose under His loving rule. When we're outside of those rules, there are actually biological, physiological consequences for us that occur. Now, Adam and Eve were not satisfied with their roles and positions, and we see a lot of that today. And we'll talk a little bit about headship and submission later, which is always a very interesting topic. When you bring it up, you know, you see the men kind of sit up a little bit, and you see the women just like, you know, having frustrated looks on their faces. So it's an interesting topic, the topic of headship and submission. But just in general, I think most of us can observe there's a battle going on right now to try and figure out what men's and women's roles and positions are, and a lot of dissatisfaction with the present cultural, traditional roles that people are kind of bucking up against. So how does that fit in with God's plan? We'll go into that a little bit more later. Now, rejecting God's authority only brought heartache for Adam and Eve, of course, and men and women unfortunately lost their perfectly balanced relationship. We were not designed to live independently from God and the purposes for which He created us. Now, here is an interesting Bible verse that there's a lot of discussion about. And what I'd like to do is just take a little break, and we're going to pick up here next time.